Statistics show that in the U.S., 50% of all marriages will end in either divorce or separation.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to the Raw Matrimony Podcast. My name is Jason Watson.
And I'm Shatima Watson, and we are the founders of Raw Matrimony, where our mission is to cultivate real, active, and whole marriages centered in Christ. We are
saving our society one marriage at a time. Thank you for joining in for another episode of Raw Talk. Today we have just an awesome topic subject for you guys, and we hope that you all enjoy it.
Yep. Again, I'm Shatima.
And I'm Jason.
And this is Raw Talk.
Today's topic is going to be about husband and wife roles in marriage. Who wears the pants and who wears the panties?
Exactly. Who wears the pants or who wears the panties? I guess who wears the pants or who wears the skirt?
Right. Who wears the pants and who wears the skirt? So I'll just start off and, you know, because I guess husbands, we've been charged. I don't guess. I know that husbands, we've been charged to be the heads and the leaders of our household. That was God's given role for husbands. And it was given in Genesis where God, he gave both Adam and Eve the command not to eat of the fruit, but he gave it to Adam. And he, you know, Adam, he was in charge of giving his wife direction and leadership. So just to start off, I believe that the husband's role is in our households is as prophet, priest, and king. And just to start off with the prophet. So the prophet, he represents God to the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
He speaks for God. He provides biblical instruction and training to his wife and children, and he's a messenger to God for his family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I stop you real quick? The reason why we're doing this, not to cut you off, but I just want to let everyone know, we thought this was a very interesting and important topic for us to discuss, because there seems to be a lot of debate going on today. You know, I see on social media, talks in the office, things like that about, you know, who should wear the pants in the marriage versus who actually does wear the pants. Not even just in marriages, but I mean, this is a marriage podcast, but I see even in relationships between just boyfriend and girlfriend, it's an issue there. So they take that into marriage. You know, they take the issue going into marriage. They don't have a clear view, a clear vision of what it's supposed to be like, who's supposed to be the leader, who's supposed to be the head. And I think a lot of times it's because there's an issue with saying what that word being the head, you know, makes some women like, well, you know, you're not the head of me.
Yeah. You know? But I guess with the boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, it wouldn't be the same, because a boyfriend is not charged to be the head of his girlfriend.
I know, I'm saying but you still have, before you get married, you start off as boyfriend and girlfriend. And I think it's important to have certain things in place, certain views discussed before you get married, because you have to start off somewhere.
Definitely to have the view in place if you feel like, you know, if you're mm-hmm. moving towards that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not just casually, you know, because boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if you're in the, you know, if you're in a serious relationship, I guess those are things that you would look for. A woman looking for a husband, you'd look for characteristics, leadership characteristics, or, you know, a godly husband that's following after God and he can lead you in that direction. Mm-hmm. You know, just things of that nature, but not just for just any random somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not. Okay, so sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
A very important point that I saw, and this is something I have to deal with within myself as well. As I was doing some studying pertaining to the issue, it was saying that the husband, he needs to train his wife and children in biblical instruction without becoming legalistic. So I looked into that a little bit further, and legalism, it was like talking about rules and regulations. So more so sticking to, you know, staying away from the rules and the regulations, not saying staying away from it, but to wisely, you know, give wise instruction, you know, not just saying, well, the Bible said this, so, you know, this is what we're going to do. You know, it's in a way of wisdom, just like the way that Jesus led, you know, because the Pharisees, they came to him and they tried to trap him with legalism and the law. And he said, you know, and he projected in such a wise manner. That's the way that that as a husband, we're supposed to lead and give instruction, even though the Bible says this, that, or whatever, you know, we're supposed to use godly wisdom. And, you know, also remember the grace and the love. You know, it's not just about sticking to the rules. It's also about, you know, projecting love and, you know, just sharing that with our children, just how Jesus Christ did for the church. You know, it wasn't all about rules. It was about love and compassion and grace and mercy, you know, so that was a very important part to me.
That was great.
Thank you.
I think that was a good point. For me, I think another good point would be the fact that, first of all, it's just everyone knows it was not God's intention for the woman to be the head. And any way we may try to slice or dice it, that was not the intention. His clear intention was for the man to be the head. And there are plenty of scriptures to support that. And so the issue is, I believe, is that nowadays we have a lot of women trying to step up and take on that role as the head of the household. But a lot of men are rolling over and allowing it. Not saying like, oh, you know, the woman needs to be just subservient to the man. She shouldn't have any viewpoints. No. But I feel as women, we need to allow our husbands to be the head of the household. But also as men, I feel like men need to step up and take that role. A lot of women wouldn't necessarily feel like they need to take on that role. I feel like if it weren't kind of sometimes forced to do that. But that's actually jumping ahead into one of my other points. But for right now, I want to refer to 1 Kings, let's see, 1 Kings 21. And it's talking about 1 Kings 20, yes, 21. So it's talking about, you know, Naboth. And when Jezebel, she was the wife of King Ahab. And King Ahab, he wanted Naboth's vineyard. So Naboth declined. He said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. So King Ahab, he was upset because of this. And, you know, Jezebel saw that he was upset. So she told him, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So to make a long story short, Jezebel, she, you know, used some of his, you know, signatures and things like that and allowed for some things to take place where Naboth ended up getting killed. But not saying that King Ahab ordered this, but he knew Jezebel was going to be up to something. And he didn't tell her, no, I'll handle this. You don't worry about this. I'll handle it. But he allowed her to get involved and take on that role. And she did a lot of deceptive things. And Naboth ended up getting killed. And the vineyard became King Ahab's. But guess who got punished because of that? Not Jezebel. Guess who?
Right.
Ahab.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but that reminds me of in the garden, when Eve ate the fruit, whatever the fruit was, apple, orange, pear, whatever, nothing happened. But when Adam ate it, that's when everything happened, you know, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Well, why is that? Because, you know, the charge was given to Adam and Adam was a leader and he was ahead, you know, so he knew better. Yeah. You know, they both knew better, but God had a direct discussion and he gave that, you know, Adam is ahead. So, you know, that it was his role and his responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And an amazing point that my Bible makes. I have a woman's study Bible. And a point that it makes is the writer, she says, the role reversal in this couple's marriage, Jezebel's taking on the divinely given leadership role that Ahab refused to exercise, exhibited a root problem in the king's home. The divinely given role, given leadership role, divinely, meaning it was from God. It was of God. The leadership role was from God that he failed to execute. And guess what? It led to problems in his home. And the thing is, God didn't necessarily choose, because Ahab, he repented for it. But God said, you know what? I see he's repenting of it, but I'm not going to bring disaster in his home, instead in his son's lifetime. So I think as men, we have to look at, you know, well, not we, but y'all have to look at, you know, your actions and sometimes your lack thereof. How is that going to affect your generation? How is that going to affect your children, your daughters, you know? So being taken on that leadership role and stepping up to the plate and doing what you have to do as a man is imperative. It's a matter, really, I feel, of life and death.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Our pastor here made a good point. He was saying that oftentimes the sons have to deal with the sins of their fathers and grandfathers, you know, and, you know, certain sins and punishments are passed down. And it's biblical. It's, you know, biblically based, you know, where the father doesn't deal with a particular sin and it's passed down from generation to generation to generation, you know. But as men, as husbands, we need to make sure that it stops with us, you know, that way we don't pass on any generational issues to our children, you know, which, I mean, it might be tough to do, but if you recognize and you maintain that proper relationship with God, you know, he'll open your eyes to a particular thing and he'll show you what you need to do, you know, and it's just up to us to do it. Mm-hmm. The second role of a husband in the household is that of a priest. So the priest, he represents his wife and children to God. He also petitions the need of his wife to God, and also he prays for the salvation of his children. The priest, he meditates before God, and he sets the spiritual temperature in his home. He is a mediator to God for his family. So this, I feel like this is a major, major point right here, because it says that the priest, he sets a spiritual temperature in his home. In order to do that, that means you have to maintain the proper relationship with God. You know, you have to have a relationship with God for yourself, because how can you set the tone for anybody else if you're not on the level that you need to be, you know? And this is the most important aspect of our duties right here, you know, to be able to go before God and pray and bring the needs of your wife and your children, you know, because oftentimes that's all that we have. That's all that we can do. We can do so much physically and within our own strength. But, you know, that's limitless. Mm-hmm. You know, the prayers and the, you know, what you could do, what God could do is limitless compared to what we could do within our physical selves. So this role as a priest is just one of the most important. This is what I'm starting to realize more and more as my children get older, you know, and they're wanting a little bit more independence. I'm starting to realize, like, you can't physically hold on to them, you know, but through your relationship with God and your prayers, you could pray for them, you know, and the prayer will be more effective than anything that you could possibly imagine that you could do physically, because we're limited. We're limited in our physical actions.
Mm-hmm. And I must say, there's nothing sexier than a praying husband.
Okay.
It's not.
Amen. Amen to that.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to go to work, pay bills and things like that, but it's just sexy to have a man that prays for you and your children and prays for wisdom and guidance. So ladies, get y'all one.
Amen.
Amen.
That's power. It's definitely power in prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, you know, encourage everybody to just, you know, seek that level, you know, that relationship with God, because it's just a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that, I jumped ahead earlier, but do you think that it's fair to say that there are times when the woman is forced to wear the pants, to be the head of the household?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen, you know, different instances to where I guess the male, he was more lax in different areas, you know, and the woman, when she was forced to, you know, pick up that responsibility, and which they will do. Women, they'll definitely take up the responsibility, take up the role.
We will.
You know, they'll do that, but they shouldn't have to, you know, but they will. They will when necessary. If they feel like it needs to be done, they'll definitely do that.
Yeah, and I think that's not just like with monetary wise. Because, you know, of course, we hear all, you know, every day about how women have to pick up the slack in the home because the man is not working or the father is not there like he should be for the child. But I think a lot of times some women are forced to pick up the slack for a man who is not there spiritually as well, like you was just saying, because I know a lot of times a lot of women may go to church without their husbands. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as a man, you should not be letting your wife and children get up on Sunday mornings, go to church, and you sitting at home.
Right.
You should lead your family spiritually. You should be the one getting everybody up, saying, come on, we're going to church today. It should not be the case where the woman is getting up, going to church, and her husband is sitting at home. Like, I get it. Sometimes, like, you know, men may work, you know, like, crazy hours, taking care of the family. I get that. But you also have to be there just as hard as you work to take care of your family financially. You need to work as hard to take care of your family spiritually.
Yeah. And even let's say if you do have a job, and of course that's your means for providing for your family, you have to do that on Sundays, and you know, you work during church hours, then you know, make it an effort to at least lead your children to some type of Bible study or some mm-hmm. type of devotion, you know, that way you are teaching that and instilling that in them, and you have that, you know, structure in your household. Because the reality is some people do have to work on Sundays, and you know, that's okay. But just make sure that you're taking the necessary measures to make sure that that happens, you know, that their kids are getting that instruction, and you know, you are setting the spiritual temperature in your home.
Yes. I know for me, I have no problem with letting Jason be the head of the household. Maybe when we first, I don't think I really had a problem with that.
No.
Yeah, I don't think, that's one of the things I never really had an issue with, because I feel like, I mean, it's my husband, like, I want to submit to him. Overall, I've never really, there may have been some instances where I had to let go, you know, like, as far as even, like, when it comes to dressing, you know, there was a certain way I used to like to dress when we first got together, and he would sometimes say things about it. And sometimes we would clash about that here and there. But overall, I didn't necessarily have an issue with submitting to him and allowing him to be the head of the household. Because I know that if I want him to be the head of the household, of course I want, because I was a stay-at-home mother. So I'm like, you know, he's going to work every day taking care of us. I know that's not all there is to it, you know. But I'm like, he's going to work every day taking care of me and the kids. That's like one of the least things I can do, is give him that respect and allow him to lead our home.
Yeah. So do you have any type of advice? Because oftentimes it might be vice versa as well, to where maybe the man has a more passive nature and he has a stronger woman that is maybe might be used to being independent and finds it hard to, you know, relinquish some of that to her husband.
With that, I definitely feel like with that, that's where you have to really, as the man, pray that God leads her heart, because mm-hmm. she's already a strong woman, and if, especially if he's more passive, of course he needs to speak up and, you know, make it known, like, okay, you know, I would like to be treated and respected as the head of the household. But then he, like I said, she's already a strong-willed woman, you know, a strong personality. He may be more passive, so he needs to bring some meat behind those, behind that request. Okay, I want you to treat me and respect me as the head of the household. So then he needs to do what he needs to do as the head of the household. That's number two, because I think the first thing is he needs to yield to God in prayer on that, and allow God to work on her. Because it really is amazing what prayer can do, and the power of submitting to him first, what that can do. Because mm-hmm. once he submits to God, he's going to be amazed at how much it starts trickling down. And his wife starts yielding to him, you know, submitting and yielding to him. And he didn't even necessarily have to say anything to her.
Yeah.
So I think that's the major key when you're dealing with a strong-willed woman.
So you think the woman needs to pray about, you know, being able to submit as well?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have said that, too. Definitely. The woman, if she knows that she has an issue with that, just like God, you know what? Be honest with God. God already knows, but he loves it when we can come to him honestly. He feels like, you know, we're actually taking the time out to seek him. Be honest with him and say, God, you know, I'm struggling in this area. Can you please help me? Because I know just according to my own flesh, I can't do it. I'm failing at it. I'm struggling. But with you, all things are possible when I need your help. And he definitely will. He wants to.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And lastly, the role of a husband is the king of the household. And I mean, we always like that part, you know, of course, who doesn't want to like, who doesn't like to be called the king, right? But a lot more comes with king than just the crown, you know, actually the king, the
title.
You know, and yeah, exactly. The title, it's a lot of responsibility. The king, he has responsibility for the welfare of his people. He provides security and protection, and he acts in a manner worthy of receiving honor, which I feel like that is the biggest thing of the king. You know, when let's say, I don't know, one of these kings from the English.
I got a great example.
The king, the English king? What's his name?
English king.
What's the name? The British king?
King Harry?
Yeah, King Harry. When King Harry enters a room, he don't have to announce.
Prince Harry.
The king.
They're the princes. I'm not sure. I can't remember the father's name. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that guy, whenever he enters a room, he doesn't have to announce to everybody that he's the king. They know that he's the king by the way that he carries himself. You know, they know him because, you know, they see that. So you don't have to, if you're carrying yourself in a respectable manner as a husband and the king of your household, you don't have to announce, hey, I'm the king. You should do this. You should do that. You know, that's just automatic. You know, it comes automatically with the way that you carry yourself. You carry yourself in a manner that's respectable. You know, you hold yourself in high esteem, not like you're better than your wife or your children, but you just carry yourself with, you know, a sense of pride and a sense of honor. And that's just a respectable thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And as far as that goes, being a king, I feel like also comes with sacrifice. Because a lot of times, like we said, you want the title and you want the position of king. But I think as a man, you also should realize too that's going to come with a level of sacrifice.
A lot of work.
Yeah. Leading your family is not always going to be, it's not going to always feel good, right? You know, it's a lot of sacrifice. And I have an example of that will be, I can't remember what chapter it's in. But it's with David. I think it's in one of the books of Kings. And so David, he's fleeing from his son, Absalom, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe it's his son Absalom. And Absalom is trying to dethrone him, and he's trying to take David's place. So he gets a lot of people to turn against him. So David knows that he has to flee. So the people, his loyal people, some people are like, no, we're going to follow you wherever you go. They flee, and at first they have the, what's the thing they bring with them? The little golden.
The ark?
Yes.
The ark covenant. Of the covenant?
Uh-huh. Yes, the ark of the covenant. They have that. But David tells them, no, take it back. It belongs. It needs to stay in Jerusalem. He tells them, no, whatever God chooses to do with me, that's fine. But the ark of the covenant needs to stay there with the people of Jerusalem. That was a sacrifice David made for his people. For, you know, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about anyone else. But he knew that he had to make that sacrifice. And I think that that's a manifestation of a true king. David, he was a true king. He didn't think about himself in that time, even though he really needed the protection. But he knew that his people needed it more. So, men, sometimes you have to make sacrifices knowing because your family needs it more. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do agree. I guess that's also the biggest part of being a king is the sacrifice and the work and the responsibility, because it's not all about you. Actually, you know, it's more about your people and making sure that your kingdom is good, you know, and making sure that your kingdom prospers, you know. So that really is a reflection of your leadership, but it's not about you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, those were our points. I said my 3 points. My last point that I wanted to discuss is, when God isn't the head of a man's life, he can't expect order in his home. And I'll use 1 Corinthians 11:3 as an example. And let me pull up my phone real quick. But if you want to, while I'm pulling this up, just touch on that real quick.
Yeah, well, I believe that falls into the role as a priest. You know, she said that when God isn't the head of a man's life, then he can't expect order. Absolutely, because it's the symbolism of the cross, right? The up and down is, you know, yeah, the up and down is our relationship with God. And then the side to side is our relationship with man. You know, so if our relationship with God is in order, then our relationship with man will fall into line, you know, accordingly. You know, those are the two greatest commandments, right? Love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay, here it is. So 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So, first of all, it says the head of every man is Christ. Okay? The head of every man is Christ. So, therefore, if the husband does not, first of all, have Christ as his head, as his Lord, as his Savior, it's going to be chaos because this is the divine will of God. This is divine order of God. So when you're out of this order, you can't expect, you know, things to be peaceful or, you know,
right.
It's going to be chaos.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then it says the head of a wife is her husband. It didn't say that, you know, the wife and the husband are the heads. It didn't say the head of the wife is her parents, the head of the wife or her children. No, it didn't say the wife. It even also does not say that the wife is the head of her own self. That's not what it says. It clearly states the head of a wife is her husband. So, I mean, like, what more do we need? But I think, you know, submission is sometimes is hard when you're not necessarily with someone who you feel worth submitting to. But I think that's a heart issue also. That's another one of those situations where I feel like when you asked earlier if it's like a passive man,
mm-hmm,
who's with a more, I guess, aggressive woman.
Or independent, a woman that's used to being independent and, you know, running her own household.
Yeah. And I think it's the same thing that goes for a woman who is with a man and she doesn't necessarily feel like he's worth submitting to because he's not holding up his end of, you know, the partnership,
mm-hmm,
you know. With that, I would say really take that to God and still do what you should be doing as a woman. So still, you know what? Still say, you know, I'm going to submit to him. Now, of course, as long as he's not making you do nothing that's ungodly, you should still submit to your husband. But pray about it. Submit to him and pray about it. Pray for God to change his heart. Or, you know, in the midst, God may even change your heart, too.
Mm-hmm.
So just pray about it. Put it in God's hands. I know it's way easier said than done. I know it sounds cliche, but it's so true, people. Trust me, it's true. Some things we try to take on our own, and God didn't intend for us to take on our own. Everything that he puts in his word, all this instruction that he puts in his word, he knows it's not always going to be easy for us. That's why we need to come to him. We need to read his word. We need to apply it to our lives and then ask for his help in order to actually, you know, walk by his word.
Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about, well, we had this conversation before and we were talking about the roles. And the roles, they weren't conditional roles. So it wasn't like, you know, God, he didn't say, love your wife if she submits. And mm-hmm, he did not say to submit to your husband if he loves you in this manner. You know, we're not conditional roles. You know, God, he gave a mandate to both men, well, both husbands and both wives, you know, and these are our independent, you know, roles, and these are independent duties that were given to God. So it's not conditionally based on, you know, well, if you do this, then I'll do that. Or if you do this, then I'll do that. You know, and it reminds me of, it's a text. I can't remember the text right now, but it talks about, a Christian wife being able to win her husband to God, you know, based off of her life, you know. So and the only way that's possible is she's faithful and, you know, she's you know, has that relationship with God, you know. Mm-hmm. Because if let's say if the wife isn't submissive or isn't fully living in the her God-given responsibilities, I don't believe that that's going to win the husband over to God. You know, so I believe that it's through her love and her submission and her faithfulness to her relationship with God, and that's what will be able to win her husband over to Christ. You know, so even if you have a husband that's not necessarily a believer, so you feel like, well, he's not worthy of submission. No, you should still submit to him and, you know, fulfill your duties that God has given you and your responsibilities God has given you.
Yes, I agree. we are to follow our husbands, even if we don't necessarily feel like they're leading us correctly. I know as women, sometimes we can be a little, we know what we want. We know how we want things. We know how we want our partner to be, even down to how we would like for them to lead us. But even if, like, I feel like I don't necessarily agree with the way you're leading me in a certain area,
mm-hmm.
As long as it's not, you know, going against clearly what God says for us not to do in his word, I have to yield to that. You know, I may not always agree with how you're doing things, but I have to yield to that as your wife out of reverence for you and also out of reverence for God.
Yeah.
Because Ephesians 5:22 says that we are to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord.
Right.
God, you know, you're my husband. You're the head of our household. You're the head of our marriage. And I say that proudly, not saying that, oh, you're the boss over me, or, well, if you are, the really technically I'm the boss, but I allow you to be the boss, you know.
You're the boss, but mm-hmm. you allow me to be the boss.
Yes. So, you know, yes.
I'm the boss and I allow you to be the boss.
So I guess it works both ways.
It
so
sure does.
So yeah, I have no problem letting you lead me. And I think when we let our husbands lead, I know when we allow our husbands to lead us, we're showing God that we respect his word, we respect him, and we want to do the right thing by him as well.
Yeah, that's a very frustrating thing for a husband. You know, it could be a very frustrating experience when you feel like you're in a relationship where you're not allowed to lead. You know, it could be very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But you do a good job. You know, I can definitely attest to the fact that you do a good job as far as that. Even, you know, when I see that you don't agree, you know, I'm thankful that you still submit. It's, you know, it's very reaffirming.
Yeah. I have an example, like, you know, the couch.
Hmm?
The couch thing is not a good example.
What couch thing?
So, remember when I went to Aaron's and you know, I set up for us to have a couch delivered because we so badly need a new living room set. But anyway, I set up for us. I went to Aaron's because right now we can't, you know, we can't afford to just go out right and buy a new living room set. So I went to Aaron's and I set it up for, even because me and Jason, we had this conversation and I felt like he agreed to it. But anyway,
yeah,
long story.
She felt like we agreed.
You did agree to it. You did. But so that's why I went ahead and did it. I went to Aaron's. I set it up for us to get a couch delivered. They was going to come that Monday. So I called Jason afterwards. I was so excited. I was like, you know, they're going to be delivering the couch, you know. He was like, what couch? You know, but he's good for this. But I feel like he's good for us having a convo about something. And then I'm not going to say pretending, but I guess getting amnesia about what we talked about.
Yeah, that's why I try to make it clear, because it seems that sometimes, you know, in our communication that, you know, certain things I say makes you feel like I agree. So now I try to make it clear that, you know, this is exactly what I want us to do. So I feel like that's why we haven't had those type of situations in a little while.
Yeah, that's best. But so to make a long story short, even after I set it up, I paid and everything. I did the first payment, everything. He didn't agree with it. So I just, you know, I was pissed off. You know, I was upset because I was looking forward to getting the couch. But ultimately, that same day, I went back up there and I said, hey, you know, I'm going to have to, because they didn't deliver it yet. So I just made the decision, like, hey, you know, can we cancel the whole couch thing? And it was from there. It was like, you know, I was a little upset about it, but I mean, I felt like, hey, well, my husband doesn't agree. So I guess it was just a misunderstanding, you know, and I canceled it. And I think that's a great example of how some, you know, as wives, we have to allow our husband that space to lead. He didn't feel like financially that it was a good move, so I have to respect and trust his view on that, because I'm allowing him to lead us financially, so he didn't feel like that was a good move for us to do financially, so I respected that.
Yeah, and I mean, but I try to compromise as well, you know, because with the washer and dryer, you know, so
mm-hmm.
as a husband, you know, I don't believe that you could just pretty much, it has to be with wisdom and, you know, discernment, because you can't say no to everything because you feel like it's not the right thing or you feel like it's the wrong thing. You know, it has to be some type of wisdom and discernment in that, you know, because you have to be compassionate and thoughtful that you're not the only person in the relationship. So even though you're called to lead, it's not your way or no way. You know, you have to be wise and, you know, just use, I believe I said discernment a few times already, but you just have to have a discerning spirit.
Take discernment. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And also I think that, as a wife, I have to, I have a trust that I made a wise decision in marrying my husband. So if I don't allow him to lead me, what does that ultimately say about me and my decision to marry him? You know, because I'm like, what's the point of marrying somebody if you don't trust anything, any decision they can make? When you're marrying someone, you're marrying them to be your life partner, especially, you know, a wife. When you choose a husband, that's why, you know, it's hard sometimes for fathers to let go of their daughters, because they want to know, they want to trust that their daughter chose a man who can lead them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major thing. So as a wife, I need to choose somebody who my mother or my father does not have to worry about, is he going to be leading me well?
Mm-hmm.
I have to make that decision. So ultimately, if I don't trust my husband to lead me, I have to look at why I made the decision to marry him. Yeah. Within myself, that's a reflection of me. Who I married and who is leading me is a reflection of me, because ultimately I'm the one who chose him.
Yeah, well, I guess the husband chose the wife, but the wife,
yeah, well,
you know, goes along. Definitely, you need a man that, well, first off, I guess in the dating stages, you have to see if he's capable of leading himself. Because if he can't lead himself, then there's no hope for him leading you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean that's a big red flag.
Yeah, like, ladies, if you're dating a guy who he's constantly, you know, asking you for money, constantly, you know, asking you to do this for him, do that for him, he's probably not the one you need to be marrying, because your husband...
I guess... I'm sorry. Go on. No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying. I'm just using it as an example, because I hear that a lot nowadays, where women are frustrated because they get with a man who, for instance, he may not have a job. He, you know, he might live with his mother and stuff, but he asking her for money. He's asking her to do all these things for him. And it's like, what are you bringing to the table? Not even what you bring to the table. What are you doing for yourself?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the circumstance, you know, because, you know, people fall on hard times and, you know, different circumstances, things happen. So, I mean, I guess it depends on the circumstance, because sometimes, you know, a woman could be, that's all she thinks about. Oh, well, you don't have this and that, so you can't do anything for me. But I mean, you know, it may depend on the circumstance. It may just be, you know, just an unfortunate time in the person's life.
But that's not what I'm talking about. You know the kind of guys I'm talking about. Pretty much I'm not gonna call no names, but I'm not gonna call them any kind of names. But sometimes the bums. You know, and it's a lot of that out here nowadays. But we won't get into that. But I think you have to definitely evaluate the situation from when y'all are dating. Because a man definitely will definitely show you, there'll be red flags. And also, I think that's vice versa. As a man, you need to evaluate if this is a woman who is going to allow you to lead, even from dating. Not saying, okay, I know that this is not your wife and she shouldn't necessarily just entrust you with every aspect of her life, but if y'all are dating with a purpose, trying to get towards marriage, you need to see her viewpoints on allowing the man to lead in the first place. Because, you know, you do have women who, I hear it all the time, women like, I don't need no man, you know, I can do this, I can do that. And I think allowing your husband to lead is not saying that you need a man.
Yeah, and also you should definitely evaluate their relationship with their father. Mm-hmm. You know, because, just evaluate the relationship with their father, because that'll tell you a lot about the woman that you are going to marry.
Elaborate on that, because I feel like that can go both ways, because I don't have, my father wasn't there, but...
Yeah, but you still show him respect, you know, so you're respectful to him, even though the fact that he wasn't a major role, you know, he didn't play a major role in your life, you know, you still, I wouldn't say submissive to him, but you still give him the honor of...
As my father.
As your father, you know, and being, you know, and that, you know, holding that, that relationship, you know, even though he didn't play that role. So, I mean, that says a lot to me, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I mean, I don't know. I just think that sometimes we make it harder than it is. Because it's easy for me. I can only speak for myself. But I know it's easy for me to allow Jason to lead. Because first of all, I see that he tries as a man to have a great relationship with God. He allows God to manifest in his life. I see that he makes the effort to walk with God. So I guess that's another reason why it makes it easier for me. Because I see that you try.
Mm-hmm.
In that area. Because that's the main thing. If a man is not being led by God, he really can't lead his wife properly.
Yeah, then you'd have to wonder who's he being led by, or what's leading him, because mm-hmm. we can't lead ourselves. So it's going to be some type of driving force, a driving factor in our lives, or, that are leading us in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm. So my advice, ladies, if you are, and wives, if you're dealing with a man who you feel like is not being led by God, and who you would like to do a better job of cultivating that relationship with God and allowing God to lead them, instead of battling against him, pray to God for him. Pray that God guides him and strengthens him in his leadership role. As wives, I think we're supposed to be our husband's helpmate, and a part of being their helpmate is praying for them, not only praying with them, but praying while we're alone, praying while they're away from us, praying for them, praying for their souls, praying for them, mind, body, and spirit, praying that God leads them and equips them to be the man that he's called them to be. It's already a lot of pressure on men to be everything that the world says that they should be, So I think that as wives, the least we can do, well, really the most we can do, that's the biggest thing we can do, is pray for our husbands and place them in God's hands. Because at the end of the day, we can have our opinions. We could want them to do this and to do that. But ultimately, we want them to be inside of God's will. So if they're inside of God's will, they're going to lead you. They're going to lead you in a way that we could have even imagined, better than we could have even imagined.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, as long as God has him, I'm not worried at all.
Absolutely.
And that's my take on it.
That's good. That's a very good one. Such a wise woman.
But yeah, so those are my takes, my little viewpoints on it. Any more for you?
No, I believe that we've addressed a good amount of pretty much everything, so
mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, that's all we have for you guys on this episode. As far as leadership, as far as who wears the pants or who wears the panties, I'm just playing. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us again.
Yep, thank you. Thank you guys.
We really enjoy this. We love you all, and just continue to pray for us. Pray that God continues to strengthen us and give us the willpower and the discernment to do these podcast episodes and mm-hmm. lead you guys. And we, be led in the process also.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. So before we go, let's just, let's have a quick word of prayer. I just want to pray. I feel led to pray for all the marriages, for the people, that are listening, and as well as our marriage as well, for continued growth. Mm-hmm. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for blessing us and, allowing us to see another day. Father God, we praise you, God. We honor you. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you, God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise, yes. Lord God. We can't thank you or lift you up enough, Father God. We thank you, yes, for the marriages represented here, Father God. We thank you for the people that are listening to the podcast, Lord God. We thank you for the hearts and the ears that it might touch, Father God. We pray and, yes, ask for just healthy marriages, Father God. We, yes, pray for growth, Father God. We pray for rejuvenation, Father God. Yes. We pray for life, Father God, health and strength. We pray for, yes, unity, Father God. We pray for friendship right now. We pray for strength and bonds, Father God. We pray for healing, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you just have your way in these marriages, Father God. We pray that your name be glorified in these marriages, Father God. We pray that you strengthen homes, Father God. We pray that you bring homes back together right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We pray for reunited bonds, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Just have your way in these marriages, Lord God. We pray that you direct us. Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you direct us as husbands and wives, Father God. Help us to play our God-given roles, Lord God, and just live up to the responsibilities that you placed before us, Lord God. Help us to love our wives, Father God, like you love the church, Lord. Help us to lead her. Father God, help us to give her direction. Help us to support her, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to her, Lord God. Yes. Help the wives to submit to their husbands, Lord God. Help them to be respectful, Father God. And just to be submissive to our guidance, Lord God.
Yes. Help us to love, to submit to our husbands as unto you, O God.
Yes, God. And just have your way. Have your way in these households, Lord God.
We love you, Lord, and we praise you.
Yes, God, we magnify you.
The honor, the glory, God, that you are due.
Yes,
Lord, there's nothing or no one like you.
Yes, God, you're great, Lord, and we just thank you for this time to come before the people, Lord, and just have your way, God. We praise you, we lift you up, we magnify you, God, and we need you, Lord. We can't do anything without you, Lord, and we pray that you help us to keep you at the center of our marriages, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Peace out, y'all.